Party!
Party! Hello, Jack Kay.
Wait, my dog Glenn has his high heels on and is making all the noise on the hardwood floor. Sir, do you want to join the party or do you want to leave the party? There's no in between. Let's go, brother. Let's get up here. Come on, Bean. Come on.
Glenn. Hey, Glenn.
I am the sweetest man.
What a little cutie. I love it.
I should shut that door so you don't see my candy corn ass kitchen, but you know what? I don't have the energy.
Oh, that's beautiful. You know what? I just went on a glow marathon, and so that just sprung me back to the 80s again.
I think it's even 70s, but
that may be true.
It's not a point of pride. It was here when I got here. Again, energy issues. Not really worth it to me to move it.
That's fair. I wasn't going to judge you for it. Now that you highlighted it, a little bit of judgment, but...
Feel free. You want to hear... I'm ready for more judgment. I'm about to crack open a kombucha. I'm giving you all the hits today.
I can't.
my farm to table kale is being delivered. Just kidding.
I can't judge you too much on the booch because I used to homebrew back when I lived on the East Coast, and I'm not proud of it.
You can't ever judge anyone for anything, then. You homebrewed kombucha, you lose your license, you lose your judging credentials, and you can only be judged.
I can't even rate movies now. People are like, yeah, I mean.
They were like, weren't you that guy that homebrewed? You're like, yeah. They're like, it's over, buddy.
Didn't you keep like 10 SCOBYs in your fridge? Yes, I did. Yeah. That's fine.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Well, Jackie, welcome. What flavor is that, by the way? It looks a nice.
So I just got a case of Health Aid.
Okay.
And I'm fucking pumped because there are all these new ones with like special shit in them. And this one is strawberry. It's the beauty one. So it's strawberry, rose, biotin, and silica.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's I wish they had the face next to it with the. That's beautiful.
Oh, it's still low. They're doing it right.
Is it effervescent?
It's effervescent, and it's going to give me just the jolt I need.
Amazing. That's what I. Oh, gosh. I was gonna by the way, my name's Stefan. It's nice officially meet you. Some people get Steven because of the phonetically ambiguous spelling of my name.
Sure,
but my brand of homebrewed kombucha was gonna be Effervescent. Steffervescent.
Steffervescent.
Yeah.
Effervescent, which was gonna be.
It was gonna be Steffervescent. I think Steffervescent.
That feels right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or bubbly boy, because I
boy is really funny, but it's you're kind of asking for it with that.
That's putting me even lower on things that I can judge after calling my.
Well, I think if you call something bubbly boy, you have no credentials. You lose them.
That is very true. Oh man. Well, Jackie, I'm really excited to have you on a comedy advice podcast, which is an advice podcast with comedy. But
if you think that a person needs what a comedy advice podcast is explained to them, then I'm worried about that person. Like if someone's like, what is, oh, you're doing a comedy advice podcast. What does that entail? I would be worried about that person is all I'm saying. So it's wild that you explain it.
Surprisingly, there are people that do get confused because I have so many comedians on here. People think that it's advice about comedy.
Oh, as opposed to what?
As opposed to advice with comedy, where it's...
Ah, I see.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And I mean,
I will say, here I go, the way you explained it didn't make me think it was any less advice from comedians. Like when you said it's called a comedy advice podcast, a podcast, the way that you said it, I still thought what I thought. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. So it's an all-encompassing type of thing, right?
So what are we doing here today?
We're going to be giving some advice, but first we're going to be talking a little bit about you.
Wow, that feels great.
Yes. And I had a little intro cooked up for you.
Oh, Oh, God bless. Let me leave you to it.
Oh, man. All right. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to A Comedy Advice Podcast. It needs no explanation from the title. I am Stefan Satani, your host. Joining me today, very special guest. She was Melrose on the Netflix pile-driving comedy drama, Glow. She's the host and key ingredient of the Netflix cooking show, Best Leftovers Ever. She was Paula Abdul's favorite contestant on American Idol Season 8, and she played not one, but two Fran Drescher characters on The Nanny. Everybody, please welcome Jackie Tone.
Hi, everybody. What up?
Hey, I'll put a clap effect in there later because I feel like it needed it.
I mean, I don't even think you have to put one in because all my fans are roaring right now.
I'm going to open all of my kombucha bottles so that the effervescent bubbles.
Very well, you should. And I will snap into all of my health aids.
Well, Jackie, first off, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you. And I have to say, I first found out about you and then I got introduced into like the Tone Zone with everything that I saw.
Oh, welcome.
It's a beautiful place. I love it here.
I mean, I do get sad, but welcome.
I first discovered you from your new show, Best Leftovers Ever, on Netflix, which was, I think it was definitely trending on Netflix. And I think it was one of the top 10 viewed shows on Netflix in January.
We were in the top 10 for the first like week or more, which was crazy. We were up against like Bridgerton and Cobra Kai and Queen's Gambit, and people were watching our little cooking leftover show. It was wild.
Oh man, I love the cooking show. And I have to say, I'm not usually a guy that would watch a cooking show, but ever since I've been married, I've stopped watching shows like It's Always Sunny in South Park, and now it's Britain's Greatest Bake Off and Home Improvement shows.
Can you watch It's Always Sunny in South Park and cooking shows?
No, because my... There's no compromise in this house. I just...
Fair. Great.
You know what? I pick my battles. I may not get to choose what to watch on TV, but I get to choose what to eat sometimes. Maybe one
sometimes.
Night a week.
Sometimes. Yeah. Fair. Okay. And it's mac and cheese every time.
And I get to choose to homebrew my own kombucha, which my wife is adamantly against, but she let me do it if I get to watch every show she wants to watch.
Wow. Okay. So it's trade-offs. I see. Did you ever see the episode, The Gang Finds a Dumpster Baby?
Was that the one that you were in?
Yeah.
I saw the clip and of you and Dennis getting intimate because I definitely...
Mushrooms and banging.
Yes! The steamy coitus scene. And it was, I mean, I remember that show. I saw that episode 10 years ago or so. And then I recently saw the clip and I was like, holy shit, that's Jackie Tone.
It's cool to be on a show you love. I think it's super, you know, it's super rare. As an actor, it's super rare to get any job ever. And then if you get a little spot on something you actually watch, it's really cool.
Yeah. And it was so cool watching the Best Leftovers Ever because I was just, and my wife too, we were both magnetized by the presence of Jackie Tone.
Oh, that's really nice.
And I have to say, so for the listeners, you might be able to explain it way better than me, but essentially it's a cooking show where there are not professional chefs, but there are home cooks that are able to...
Yeah, I feel like they're somewhere in between home cooks and professional chefs. I mean, we always pitted them against each other evenly. So if it was like...
Yes.
People that own a restaurant, three chefs in a restaurant versus... one episode, and then the next episode would be like more like three home cooks or three people that have blogs, right? Like it wasn't a Michelin star guy against the lady that cooks for her kids.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's right. Because I remember on the last episode, I forgot there was a guy from Israel that had his restaurant.
Oh, he's
and then
amazing.
The...
Yeah, Yaniv. Yeah, that guy's amazing.
Wow. And so they end up trying to repurpose leftovers. There's the first round and then the second round where everybody beckons your fridge and out comes secret ingredients that they have to repurpose into these exquisite dishes.
Exquisite dishes. So yeah, round one, the cooks work with their own fridges behind them, their quote unquote own fridges, where we say something like, hey guys, it was date night last night. So you have in your fridge, you've got some leftover cold steak, some chocolate covered strawberries, and you made a salad. So then these people have to work with those ingredients to cook them into let's call it a flavor bomb brunch or something. And then in round two, of course, we back in out my fridge. And then there's takeout leftovers. So there's, you know, three different Mexican dishes, three different Italian dishes, and the cooks choose at random. And let's say so this one woman, and then in round two, they need to turn them into high-end cuisine. So we're not specific about what they make, where in round one we are, whether it's like a brunch or a sandwich and a drink. And then in round two, it's just make something restaurant quality, high-end. We're talking plating, drizzling, the whole nine. Out of these, these takeout leftovers. And it is too fun. The show is, I would say it's like Chopped meets Pee-wee's Playhouse. Like, it's just a wackadoo watch, and it's super funny. We just had incredible producers and writers and everybody on the show, and watch the shit out of the show, you guys. It's really fun.
It's, yeah, I agree. It's super cool. Beyond the talking about beckoning the fridge, where each time sometimes you would have to call it, like, here, fridge, and everyone would call it, and then it would come scooting along. There's also, I think, a giant milk carton. There's a giant Chinese takeout box that the contestants have to go into.
Like 10-foot tall chopsticks. Yeah, it's really fun. I mean, it's this term obviously is a little gag worthy, but it's true in this scenario. It really is fun for the whole family. I mean, it's just everybody can watch it, and it's not too cheesy and young for grownups, and it's not too grown up for kids. I mean, it's a good fit. I'm really into it.
Yeah, I agree. And I, one of the things that really hit me was the fact of trying to encourage people to reuse leftovers, which my grandma, she came from Italy, and she was in the, well, she wasn't in the Second World War fighting, but she was there and they were struggling. And so she would try and repurpose everything. And I remember once we went and had pizza. And she took the pizza crust that me and my brothers didn't eat, and she made gnocchi out of it. And so, yeah.
Is that real?
That's real.
That's wild, because on the show we had people making gnocchi all the time. And funny enough, my grandparents actually, again, they didn't fight in the Second World War, but were Jews. It did not go great for many of my ancestors and family members. And both of my grandparents, luckily, obviously got out because they made my mom who made me. But that is why, you know, we're a big leftover family too. And it's always been super important to us, not only to, you know, reuse what you have and to diminish food waste, but also, even when we were a family who had a little, right? Like we had nothing. My grandparents had nothing. My mom growing up had nothing. So if there was a chicken in the fridge and it was nothing but bones, my mom would throw it out. Her mother would pull it out of the garbage and say, we're going to use the bones. We have to be like this, but these are good bones. Now my childhood wasn't quite like that, but I'm from these people.
Right.
And so it's always been in me.
Yes, same. And that I'm the same exact generational spot where I think my mom got hit by it harder, but I also got it ingrained into me that you don't waste food and you reuse what you can. And then the pizza crust gnocchi, which was delicious, just is a memory that came up with, by the way, so many gnocchi dishes were recreated from leftovers.
That's what I was actually going to say because, you know, I think people needed to be super creative on best leftovers ever. So it wasn't going to suffice for you to take, let's say you guys weren't feeling well last night. So you have super bland food in your fridge. You've got chicken noodle soup, applesauce, and some burnt toast. Go for it, right?
Yeah.
And then we also have like the staple fridge extras that they can use and all of that. But it wouldn't suffice to just throw that in a pan with some eggs and some potatoes and be like, I made a hash. I made a scramble. Right. Like, in your normal life, we obviously support that wholly. Use everything in your fridge. Use all your leftovers. Make a scramble. Make a hash. But not on our show. So these people had to be super creative. And I think a bunch of them were like independently thought of gnocchi, which is so wild. We had the one guy who made the burger and fries into gnocchi bolognese. He took the burger meat and made it. It was insane.
Yes. Yeah, it was incredible. It made me feel a little less special about my grandma's abilities, so I'll have to talk with her about being more creative next time. But it was so cool to see the types of dishes that people would take and elevate to the next level. And
oh yeah, it was super impressive. I mean,
and it was so cool. It was also talking about the judges. So there was you, Jackie Tone, extraordinaire. There was also David So, who is he knows quite a bit about food, also a comedian upbringing, which was
he's a jack of all trades. He also sings and plays guitar really beautifully, where you're like, oh, you were just sitting on that, you were just not going to tell him. And then he's a culinary influencer and a restaurateur, and he started a matcha company, and he's got food trucks, and he's funny as a motherfucker. I mean, just genuinely, his comedy timing is so on point. He's a special dude. Love that guy.
Yeah, he was really cool. And then also Chef Rosemary Schrader, which was, you guys were just super key ingredients that really made a great set of hosts, because, I mean, you didn't have the knowledge that they did, but you were also able to bring the perspective of like, this tastes funky, or this tastes
like
a booger.
Yeah, like I know what something tastes like. Yeah. And I'm like, this texture is weird. What is that? Why does that taste like that's weird? But I also think like that's, I mean, maybe I'm just saying this because it's me, but I do think that's a perspective that's missing from cooking shows, because they are sort of like, it's very bright, it needs more acid. And I'm sitting home watching going like, I don't know what the fuck bright means when it comes to food. And what do you mean more acid? Like, okay, so I guess acid is lemon, but why would you put lemon? It doesn't make sense to me. So I sort of came along as the layman and was like, I love food. I know what it tastes like and I can describe it, but I'm not obviously going to speak in the culinary technical terms that Rosemary and David did.
Right. I think that's absolutely essential too, because as a person that can barely cook, even though my grandma's making gnocchi and souffles and all that type of shit. I can understand if food tastes good or bad. And I feel like with art too, that's another thing where people can get really esoteric with it, but you can also be like, I don't like it, or I like it.
I think with art though too, you're like, I often see things that are critically acclaimed and people are lauding and paying millions of dollars for. And I'm like, someone drop a can of paint. What happened? Like, I don't understand what happened. So I think like having the layman, but then on the flip side of that, obviously they know something and they obviously know what it's worth and who will buy it.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. So.
Glenn is resting on my wrist.
Oh, Glenn. Sweet. How old is Glenn?
Glenn is about, how old are you, Glenn? With your gray beard. Thank you. He sees a little dumb snout peeking in. I think he's like 7 or 8. I hope he's that young. I don't know. He's a rescue and my friends had him before me, so.
Oh, man. Age is just a number anyway. By the way, I'm seeing the backsplash again and it's reminding me of Reese's Pieces. So I am liking it. And I'm hungry.
And I just really don't like it. But it is what it is. I moved into this apartment and it's really cool. It's 1920s. It's just like really bungalowy, two floors, hardwood floors, like everything's vintage. There's like a bookcase to me right now, which I'm not going to show you because also, is this a video pod or just an audio pod? And we're videoing just a vibe.
Well, I usually do vid and odd, but if you want the video out.
No, but when you put it out, you do both?
Yeah, I do. But if you don't want me to put out video, that's fine.
Don't care. I put on mascara just in case. Anyway, there's a bed coming out of the bottom of this bookcase. So it's a giant bookcase. And on the bottom, you pull a huge queen bed out. And then it goes under the stairs. But again, there's too much there, so I'm not going to show you. It's crazy. So the apartment's really cool. Just the kitchen makes me ill.
What a magical house. I love
it. It's so magical. And there's like everything's built into the walls and stuff. But I think when I get my next place, I'm going to want it to be super modern, because I've been living in like little vintagey cottages for my whole fucking life and I'm kind of over it.
Yeah. My wife and I, we ended up moving to Phoenix, Arizona we were in New York. And
oh my God. What were you guys doing in New York?
We were just working there. And she's originally from Brazil. I'm originally from here. So we were there for about 8 years in Elizabeth, New Jersey.
I know Elizabeth, New Jersey well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my brother lives in Nutley, and I grew up with people from the Brunswicks and Watchung. I know all sorts of Jersey. A lot of my friends are in Hoboken. I know Elizabeth. I think my dad used to do a trade show in Elizabeth, New Jersey. I'm from Long Island, so we know Jersey.
That's right. Oceanside, right?
Oceanside.
Nice. Yeah. We lived in Elizabeth, New Jersey, because we wanted to go to New York City. Rent was too high. Tried Jersey
That's
City.
That's where my friend lives in Hoboken.
Yeah, yeah. We looked at the crime map of Elizabeth, exactly. And it looked like the city had chicken pox because of all the stabbings.
It's but crazy. In Elizabeth or in the city?
In Elizabeth. Lots of stabbings.
Lots of stabbings in Elizabeth?
Yeah, lots of crime.
That's why that rent is so low.
People yeah, exactly.
Knifed, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we paid $1,000 a month for our rent, but
I paid $2,000 a month for a tiny room that the bed touched three of the walls.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And I paid $2,000 a month. And I had no windows, and it was downstairs, and there was a bathroom down there that was filled with mold.
Oh.
And that was in 2002, so that room would probably be $4,000 now.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Crazy.
We did have some mold in the main area, but that was just my kombucha. So it was a controlled scenario.
And then you just stabbed it.
Yeah. And yeah, then
you were I feel like the popular thing to do to anything here in Elizabeth is put a fucking knife through it. Like, oh, come at me, mold.
Who's bubbly now, bitch? Yeah, so, you know, anyway, back.
Still you somehow.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Exactly.
Somehow the answer to who's the bubbly boy is always going to be you.
Yeah, it's me. I wish I could fit that in a vanity plate because I feel like the bubbly boy.
You could. Be. B-U-B-L-Y-B-Y? Oh, no. B-B-L-Y-B-O-Y. That's 8.
Oh.
Because B-B-L-Y can't be anything other than bubbly.
That's true. Yeah.
B-B-L-Y-B-O-Y. B-B-L-Y-B-O-Y. You even have an extra. Anyway, who are we advising?
So we're going to advise the internet. We've got some questions that fans have sent in from Reddit, Yahoo Answers, all across the internet, and we're going to answer them.
And so the comedy part of the pod is that we do not answer them for real. We answer them jokingly.
That's the main idea. However, as the guest, this is your brand. You get to do it however you want, Jackie Tone. So you can be bubbly. You can be serious.
What if I just have great advice?
I figured you would. So I feel like...
I
feel like you would. I
might not. I mean, listen, look, Bette Midler.
Oh.
And then that's a glow calendar made from pictures that Chris Lowell took on set.
Oh my gosh. I did want to ask really quickly before
Please
we got
do.
Into the advice
Please
about
do.
Glow.
Please do. Make me cry.
Because I'm sorry. My wife and I, we hadn't watched Glow before Leftovers. And so we started watching it and went on a spree. Tried to do a quick glow job, and sure. We went through the seasons, and it was absolutely phenomenal. Your character, incredible, and your character's piece on when you had the satyr made goose pimples, as Rosemary Schrager would say, come up all across both my wife and my body. So it was.
Thank you. Yeah, that was that's a special show. I mean, for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's gone now, but. Goddamn COVID, but it's really a special show. I love it.
Yeah. And I loved hearing about, because as I was trying to do my research and get in the tone zone, I was also hearing about how great the writers were. And they were taking moments. I know you had just mentioned a little bit ago about how your grandma was a Holocaust survivor. And you talked about on the show that the writers heard about your experiences and as well as your, oh my gosh,
Ellen.
I forgot. Ellen's experience.
Jenny. Yeah.
Her experiences as well, escaping from Cambodia and
it's
rid
insane.
It.
Yeah. And then they knitted our stories together. Because our characters were best friends. And here are these two girls who look nothing alike, sound nothing alike, act nothing. They're not from this anywhere near each other. And here they are connecting on the inherited trauma of their families escaping genocide. And this isn't just two characters on TV doing this. This is two women whose actual families experience this. I mean, it's really profound. I can't think of, I mean, I haven't seen every show, but I can't think of any other, another example where, you know, people's actual human life experience and history is, you know, memorialized, immortalized on television like that. It's crazy. It's a special show.
Yeah, it was really beautiful. And I mean, the writers, it seemed like they also had, when you guys went through training and you guys talked about some of the silly things or funny things that happened, they also incorporated that into the show as well.
Yeah, it was wild because, you know, we did 4 weeks of wrestling training before every season. So we didn't have stunt doubles, right? So we did our own stunts the whole time. So if you see me body slamming Ellen Wong, that is my tiny body body slamming her even tinier body. And you know, all the wrestling from the running the ropes to the schoolboys, the crucifixes, body slams, suplexes, like we learned to fucking wrestle. It's insane. And I think, you know, when our showrunners and writers would hear about what kind of stuff happened to us in the ring and training, they would always incorporate it into the show. Bye, Glenn.
That's super cool. And it was cool too. You also, one of the things I was going to say about Best Leftovers Ever is at the end of each episode, you would sing a song.
Yeah. Which,
another entry point into another channel of Jackie Tone, where didn't realize you were a singer either. Your music is incredible. Obviously, American Idol season 8, you were in like top 20, 24. I know they didn't really have numbers.
Yeah, it was a weird season because they had like this wild card and a bunch of us came back and it was a top 36. But then if you went to the wild card, you were top 24, but then they cut 12 people at once. It was a weird season, but yeah.
And then you also got to sing on Glow as well. I think there was like a music video type thing.
That was another thing that like our writers, right? Like you just said how, you know, they would really listen to us and they knew who we were. And they knew that, you know, Kate Nash obviously is a fucking actual rock star and that she and I were musical. And so they just put it in the show and they were like, cool, let's make, what are we going to have Kate Nash on our show and not have her make music? That would be insane. And I think they, you know, not to that level, but felt similarly about me. Like Jackie makes music and sings and plays instruments. Let's have her do it on the show. Make me over. You know, what's funny about, I guess skill sets is a weird way to put it, but you know, a lot of the time on shows it's the opposite of Glow, right? They see what we can do and they have us do it. For example, Shakira, who played Yolanda, but then the junk chain replacement. She used to do backup dance. She used to backup dance for J-Lo and she's like a sickening dancer. Yeah. And she's Nicaraguan. And so instead of making her character like another show would do, they'd be like, okay, like a Latina girl, let's make, doesn't matter. We can make her Mexican. We can make her whatever. But on Glow, they were like, no, she's Nicaraguan, make her Nicaraguan. And the same thing with Ellen Wong. They were like, no, let's make her Cambodian. Like it was important to them to have people play their true selves instead of like, you know, changing it up for the narrative. Anyway, what I was going to say about, oh wait, I lost my train of thought. I was saying Shakira and dancing. I was going to say another show. Oh, nice. Another show did the opposite. Like where Glow finds out everything about us and they love that. And then they utilize it.
Yeah.
I did a show years ago where it was called Memphis Beat and it was a Jason Lee show that took place. It was like on TNT or something. And I played this character, which is the funniest name ever, Dalala Boswell. And I was this like drunk Southern girl who just was sort of like train smoking cigarettes. She was sort of just like a piece of shit. And she just was like super heavy and just dramatic and it was awful for her. And I thought I got the part because at the end of the episode, she sings. She's like this like gritty kind of Janis Joplin singer. She plays instruments. So casting knew that about me. And so I auditioned and I got the part of this acting role. And then I'm like in the middle of production. And I feel like, I don't remember how it unfolded, but I think I either read the script and inquired, or I was like in the table read or something and overheard them trying to figure out like who they were going to cast for the voice double for me so someone could sing at the end. And I was like, do you guys, I thought I was singing at the end. And they were all went, you can sing? And I was like,
oh my God.
Oh, I thought this was a title. I was like, oh, I thought that's why I got the part. Cause the, Like, I figured the acting was secondary, and it was the number one thing was that, like, they needed a gritty, real singer who could play instruments. And I was like, I thought that's, and they were like, we had no idea you could sing. So I sent them a couple of videos, and they sent them to the music supervisor, and he was like, great, let's fucking go. But they had no idea I could sing. Like it's like the head isn't talking to the feet. It's just like the middle of the body is getting ripped open because the people on the two ends of the thing are not communicating. And that was the on glow. It was the opposite. It was like everybody was working together to make the best possible thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you could definitely see that. And the show, I didn't know that about Junk Chain's replacement, but and the actress's abilities for dancing. But I saw once I heard your stories and we were watching through it, and I saw her dancing and her teaching Alison Brie and doing the novelty act where they were
like,
doing the dancing.
There's no way this girl's not a professional dancer. Like, they didn't you think they just got lucky that this girl, I'll tell you where they did get lucky. Brittany Young is supposed to be like the one who plays Carmen, Machu Picchu. She never wrestled a day in her life. But she's sick. She's so fucking strong and so naturally incredible at wrestling. Like, you would think she had a lot of training before the show.
Yeah.
Nope. Does all her own stunts, did everything. And she didn't even have a body double. The rest of us had body doubles. Like, cause Allie and Betty especially had body doubles because they did all their own, they did all their own stunts. But if they needed to get a shot more than 3-4 times, mm-hmm. The girls were going to get concussions if they kept throwing each other around. I mean, wrestlers, we're actresses. And obviously that's just dangerous at a certain point. So at a certain point, they had our trainers come in and do stuff for them if it had to be done like 5-6 times. But Brittany didn't. Well, Brittany just had to do everything herself, always. She's amazing.
God, just like my wife. But yeah, that's...
That's just like your wife. I'm not sure why, but just like your wife.
Has to do everything herself, always.
I'm so sure. You're over here, too. You're so busy putting those little foam squares on your walls and brewing kombucha. What else do you have time for?
She actually did that, too. Yeah.
That's perfect.
I messed up. They didn't look level, so.
And also, she had to approve it anyway, based on what you've told me about her. You may as well just have her do it.
She did. I mean, she let me have one of our bedrooms as a studio slash office, but we also didn't know what to do with all the space we got when we moved here from Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. You came from like Stab City, New Jersey, where you had 10 feet of space for $4,000. Now you probably have a whole house for $1,000.
Pretty much. Yes.
Oh. This is my I'm happy for you face.
So bubbly, Jackie. I love it. Thank you.
I mean, I don't have to be here. I could also leave. And
that's fair. That is fair. I mean, that's the bad part is I live in Phoenix, Arizona, where I practically melt.
Phoenix is okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's definitely good right now. The weather is much better than Elizabeth, New Jersey. So
I feel everything's better than Elizabeth, New Jersey.
It has a soft, polluted place in my heart because just the characters there. And
I feel like in Elizabeth, New Jersey, you get like a similar smell that you get in New York, but none of the excitement and perks of New York. So granted, it's cheaper, but it's like, it's Elizabeth, New Jersey.
That is true.
A haircut.
Yeah. Yeah, you're speaking to. I had a razor fade before the pandemic. Last question before we get into the advice, get any, you look like certain people, celebrities or anything?
I do. When I had bangs, I got chased around, told I was Zooey Deschanel.
Okay. I could see that.
Then I get, I don't really anymore, but when we were both coming up, I got Lizzie Kaplan all the time.
Okay. I don't know who that is, but.
She was like the goth girl in Mean Girls. She's very successful.
Oh, okay.
And then I get, I think just basically Zooey Deschanel and Lizzie mostly. Katy Perry sometimes, but that was again with the bangs.
You don't get Jennifer Aniston?
No, funny enough. Maybe I have, but not generally, no.
Okay.
I used to get Deborah Winger when I was a kid and she was doing stuff.
Oh, okay. I used to get Napoleon Dynamite when I was a kid. So
I get that.
Thank you.
I get that John Hader, is that his name?
Yep, that's him. Yep.
John Hader vibes. I'm here for that.
Oh, appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, well.
My brother, spitting image of John Hader, but my brother's not here, so we're going to stop talking about him.
Great.
All right, going into the advice, Jackie. So before we answer some questions, I usually like to get centered and inspired with an inspirational quote.
Oh my God, great.
Before I present mine, I like to ask my guests if they have any inspirational quotes. That they like.
Wow. Would have been as simple as emailing me to prep me for that.
Well, that's the fun of it.
Would have taken a simple... let me think. Inspirational quotes? I mean, I explicitly don't, because I have trouble with shit like that, because it's like so earnest, it's embarrassing, where it's like live, laugh, love, and like all those signs that hang in Home Goods. They're sort of just like, they sort of make me more sad than they do. You know what I mean? Where I'm like, oh, I don't, that just feels disingenuous and cheesy to me. But I feel like this isn't really inspiring, but I do think of it all the time when I'm like, when I'm thinking of not going for something. I do think of, you miss all the shots you don't take, all the time.
Hmm. That's a guest favorite. I like
that
one.
It's a guest fave, yeah.
Yeah, that is a good one.
I feel like I have them on my phone, but while you tell me yours, I'll try and find a better one on Instagram. Oh, he's looking good. Okay.
All right. Well, the one that I have, it's actually not by any person whatsoever. It's actually by a robot, and it's called InspiroBot. So what it does is it actually uses AI to take some of the wisest words known to man or woman and just integrate them for a beautiful inspirational quote.
Ready.
Ready? All right. See if this one makes sense. Sometimes it's a hit, sometimes it's a miss. InspiroBot this week says, if you actually want to improve fun, try not to smile. Hmm.
Is it supposed to not make sense?
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. This is AI at its best. So I think there's some tweaks and upgrades that need to be made, some patches that need to be let in.
Sometimes the best way to have fun is not to smile.
If you want to improve fun. Yeah.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like it was translated onto a t-shirt from Japanese.
Oh my God, that's very true.
Go to Japan, and then I've never been, but like when you go to a store, like my favorite shit ever, I'm obsessed with Japanese culture, Japanese art and toys, and I've always wanted to go there. It's my number one place. And when I was younger, I would always collect things that were written in Japanese, but then translated to English, and like the translation didn't quite work. That's what your quote sounds like.
Oh, it does. It does. Yeah, it's like something from the Bible that was translated 13 times that it just doesn't make sense anymore. Like, don't eat shellfish. Okay. Okay. Well, fail on InspiroBot that time. You don't miss 100% of the shots you take or something, I think. But moving on to the questions.
It sounds like you just put my perfectly good quote through your auto robo quote and came out with whatever you just said.
That was a bubbly boy original, actually.
That was a bubbly boy OG. Don't take or some fucking bullshit. That's your okay, cool, perfect.
That's me. All right, now we've got
chips. Okay, I'm ready. Let's keep going.
All right, so this first question is found by our fan L. Thank you, L. She found it on Reddit. It says, what to do with stuffed animals. So I'm a 17-year-old female, and to be honest, I have way too many stuffed animals, maybe 40. It's not like I'm playing with them, but each one reminds me of a separate happy memory, so I have a really hard time giving them away or anything. They are all currently in my closet on a shelf, but I feel like it looks really stupid and immature. Now I have no idea what to do with them. I'm very much considering just putting them in storage bins under my bed, but for some reason, I just feel so bad doing it because I feel like they have feelings. Any idea of what to do?
Wow. What's the girl's name? I know Elle found it, but we don't know the name of the person who wrote it.
I do not.
Wow. Because I was going to be like, well, Stacy, because her name is like invariably Stacy.
That sounds like a Stacy move. Yeah.
I mean, listen, This is such an easy one, and I don't have a funny answer. Obviously, get That's the fine. Fuck rid of them immediately. You can keep a few. If you have 40, like, you can keep a few. Like, here, for example, I don't know if I'll be able to reach it, but I'll try. Yeah, I could reach it. So, like, for example, here's Cherry from Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Oh.
And her mouth moves. And her eyes move. So she's one of my prized possessions. So you don't get rid of Cherry. But if you've got 40 weird American Girl dolls from when you were 7 on your counter and you're almost 18 and you should be getting that Cherry Pop girl. No, that's gross. But like, you know, I feel like at a certain point, you know, just, it's interesting that her option was like, I don't know what to do. Should I put them under my bed? And she had like, there were so many questions in there. It's hard to answer just one. Because one of the questions was like, they look weird and immature. Yes, but that's okay. I mean, I have a lot of toy and youngie shit in my apartment, but it's one of the options is take 35 of them and put them away. And then the 5 that you like can be sort of mixed in with maybe things that are, I wouldn't say more age appropriate, but I'm sure there are things that are more 17-year-old like, and obviously you're feeling that way if you're asking the question.
True.
My actual advice is donate all but a few. And then if you can't do that, obviously put them in a bin because they don't have the idea that they might have feelings is a question for a different podcast. I mean, that's a different, like, hey, I'm 17 and I have too many toys. That's one question. And then like, I can't put them in a bin because they have feelings is like next level. And that's out of my pay grade, baby.
That's why I feel like Toy Story was not that great of a movie for kids, because I felt a deep emotional attachment to my toys. And so there was a point.
How old are you?
I am 32.
Oh, you're young. Okay. Because the third Toy Story came out when I was an age that like, that didn't affect me. So I was like,
you were like, 30. This is.
I was 37 when Toy Story came out. No, but I mean, I wasn't a kid. I was probably at least in middle school or something. So it wasn't like, I didn't feel like my toy, like, unless you're, how old are you? Unless you're 5.
I was probably 12 years old. Cause I'm not that much younger than you are.
I know, but you're younger, but like, I just feel like, unless you're really little, like, I'm not being a dick, but like, did you believe in Santa till you were super older too?
Santa's not real. Yeah, I think about.
Call. Hello, U.S. government.
So I think I believed in Santa until maybe 5, 6. So it wasn't that long.
So when you're 12, you don't think your toys have a personality. Like, I just don't.
I had these weird things that I believed in and other things I didn't. Like, I didn't believe dinosaurs were going to come back to Earth. But after watching Jurassic Park, I was terrified of those velociraptors because they had the claws to be able to open doors. So there was that slight fear in the back of my mind.
Oh, okay. I mean, listen, I have irrational fears. I am claustrophobic. I'm claustrophobic, not wildly, but it activates in really weird ways and I can't explain them. If I am in a public place and there's a single stall bathroom, I won't use the bathroom because I'm afraid I'm going to get locked in.
You know, I can't breathe.
It's happened to me.
Interesting. I can't breathe under a sheet.
That makes me not be able to breathe. Yeah. It's like this weird.
It's weird.
Weird. I mean, like, because of course you can, but
yeah,
like, and the same thing, right, and the same thing with me, and like, I'm just like, I don't, and I can't tell you how many times I've been in a public bathroom. I mean, it actually, believe it or not, doesn't happen that often, but it has happened occasionally where like someone walks in and you're like, sorry, and then my biggest fear is that when they leave, they'll be like, oh my god, you didn't shut the door, and then they'll slam the door, and then I'll be stuck in there.
Oh no.
It's completely irrational, but I don't really have like an otherwise super fear of small spaces. Like it comes and goes, like based on how I'm doing emotionally. If I'm like anxious or depressed or stressed out about something, it activates worse. Cause it's like my brain's gripping on to something that I think I can control. That's what the shrink told me anyway. anyway, this girl sounds real fucking crazy. I don't pee in public bathrooms. This girl sounds nuts.
I was going to say you could either do it one at a time, letting them go, or just let them all go at once.
One at a time. Get out of here. One at a time. That's going to take first. It's going to take 40 years. How many, one at a time, how many per day, how many per week? What do you, give me a plan.
Once one a week, it'll be 40 fine. Weeks.
Fine. But any less, any slower than one a week, I don't have the time for this.
I think she's just going to have to dump them all. Cause like, how do you even get rid of it? Do you throw it in the trash or do you give it away?
Well, I feel it depends. Like, if they like that, this is another, you know what? Speaking of a really nice option, if they have tags on them and they really were just on the shelf and they were a little dusty and they weren't like things that got dirty that you slept with that your dog drooled on, there are homeless shelters where kids need toys. There are, and I'm not talking like the Goodwill, because then that's just the Goodwill making that money. And there's a lot of questions about how good their will is and how they allocate their funds. But there are straight up like something that someone told me about, if you have like extra blankets and pillows that you'd think like, cause a lot of the time the donation places won't take those. You bring them to a dog rescue or a dog shelter. Cause think about all those little pups on cement on the ground, and you can really, you know, provide them some comfort. And I think, and people that I know, it's funny, before I was working as an actor, I used to clean out closets, and it was always a really good way. Like I was just like an organizer for rich people, and it's something in someone's brain when they know, even if they have trouble getting rid of things, when they know that it's going to a good cause, it makes it much easier for them to part with it. So the Goodwill just feels like, I don't know, that's just, it's a concept. It's like, that's just gonna go in a bin somewhere. But if it's like, hey, I know you're really holding on to all those shirts and you're probably not gonna wear them. You know, there's an organization called Dress for Success, and you can provide formerly homeless women with outfits that they can now wear to get jobs. Right, for job opportunities. And it changes the narrative in their head of like, well, I paid a lot of money for that and it's just going to go in the garbage. It's like, no, right. You're helping someone.
Right.
So maybe
right.
This little psycho can help some people.
This freak, yeah, can help some people.
Maybe this fucking lunatic can help a kid or two. I don't know.
Oh God. All right. Well, I think we've given about 40 fluffy pieces of advice for that. So we can
move on. I'm hiding behind my knee to itch my nostril so it doesn't appear to the viewer that I'm picking my nose.
Oh, so surreptitious.
Yeah. This,
I didn't know. Flaring nostrils.
Well, it was a big itch. I can't get it. And now I'm on a podcast. It's like a whole thing.
If you wanna take some time.
I'm fine.
All right, last question, and then that's the end of the podcast. This is found by our fan Jake.
Jake.
On the Reddit advice column, again here. How do you quickly, cheaply, and conveniently get rid of three binders full of bookkeeping? My fiance have three binders full of old bookkeeping with sensitive information that she needs to get rid of. How can she do that in the fastest and most convenient way? She has a cheap document ripper, but it only does 4 to 6 pages at a time. She estimates that summing it up to 1 hour per binder. Last summer, I barbecued parts of her bookkeeping in our simple and old charcoal grill, but it was nowhere near as fast as anyone would think. Any suggestions? Greatly appreciated.
Barbecuing, I love. So you take all the papers out of the binder, you throw away the binder, and then you pay $1 per pound at Office Depot or Staples, and they shred it for you. They have massive, massive garbage cans with a big opening at the front and a lock, so the people that work there can't go in and get your sacred papers. We all think our fucking papers are so sacred. And you, including me, because I know about this and go to Office Depot and pay them money. So funny enough, I keep having examples to show you, but here is my bag in my closet, and these are my papers that I will be shredding, but I have good reason to shred because my identity has been stolen multiple fucking times.
No way.
And I get like, I get 40 pieces of mail from Charles Schwab thanking me for starting a bank account I didn't start. So now I have taken to shredding my goddamn documents. And you take this whole bag, this probably weighs 5 pounds, to Office Depot, and it costs you $5. And it's done. You don't have to shred it. You put the whole bag into the garbage can and it's locked. So no one can like go in and get your shit. And that's it. And it's cheap and it's easy. And just do it. And it's annoying. People are like, oh, I'll get an at-home shredder. I don't want to spend the money. That's what my mom said. And then she sits there and is like, oh, I put in one piece of paper. It's clogged. I forgot to take the staple out. It's like it's a saga every minute. Just fucking take it to Office Depot. Don't waste my time.
That's See? Very true. I also loved the term.
I was just going to have good advice and it wasn't going to be funny.
I think you, yeah, well, you foreshadowed it with you did have good advice. And you know what? You nailed it. I was going to say, conversely, for the last asker, I think the charcoal grill might be a good place if you want to get rid of those stuffed animals real fast.
Oh, see? See that? That's perfect. But the thing is, for the binders, obviously, either reuse or Goodwill for those. Because big-ass bookkeeping binders, what are you ever going to use those again for?
Placemats?
Binders? How? What are you going to do? Cut the... No. Garbage.
It might be like a good TV dinner type tray.
Well, it's going to have those giant rings in the middle.
Oh, yeah. That's true. To hold your... It's like a ring holder for your utensils. So you could almost...
Or a napkin. But it's way too... I mean, if we're talking a bookkeeping binder, those bitches are like huge.
Shit. That's true. If you live in Elizabeth, New Jersey, you could wrap your arm around it and use it as a shield for when you get stabbed.
Stab you. See? Full circle.
All right. Full circle. So there's there is some use to the binder, but only in very specific stabby locations.
That's right. That is correct.
All right, Jackie. Well, I feel like we're all advised out, so we're going to end the podcast here. But before we do... First off, huge thank you for joining, and thank you for sharing your cherry. And oh no, I don't want to say that. I'll edit that out in post. And and your private documents and a little bit about you. So it's been a pleasure.
Thanks, everybody. Follow me on Instagram at Jackie Tone.
Yes, and I was going to ask, what have you got going on? Where would you like people to follow you? You've also got Do Re and Me coming out in spring.
Lots of things, baby. We're writing a bunch, writing a feature with my writing partner, and we're writing a half-hour like adult animated comedy. So we're just working, trying to get it all done. And then, yeah, follow me on Instagram at Jackie Tohn. And Kristen Bell and I have an animated musical preschool series called Do Re and Me coming to Amazon in May, baby.
Nice.
Crazy it's coming in May because my friend Mike Scharf and I created it in 2014 and we brought it to our production company with Kristen in 2015. We started shopping it and developing it with Amazon, I think in 16. And then they greenlit us in 18. And then we started working on it making it in 19, and now it's coming out in 21. So 7 years.
Oh my
bonkers,
God.
Dude. That's before Glow, before everything. I had nothing going on, and me and my buddy thought of this children's cartoon at a coffee shop in Silver Lake.
How are you so, because I know that you have waited a long time to get like Glow and this show. How do you have the patience for these things to
I don't have any patience. I just hustle and I just work and there's nothing else I can do, right? So it's like it's never even occurred to me to think about an office job or getting a day job. Like I've it's always been a grind and it's always been a hustle, and I got so used to it. And like part of me was like, cool, if I have a used car and I live in a one bedroom apartment in like an okay neighborhood where I feel safe and I make like enough money. At the moment, I don't have a family to support, and I certainly didn't back then. And I just was always just on the grind. I mean, I was not patient at all. I was really close a lot of times. There were a lot of really sad, broke, you know, $12,000 years. And then here we are. It's wild.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm so excited to see everything else that you've got going on. Everybody, please follow, support Jackie, show her some love, and
do it.
Yes. And Jackie, thank you again. This was an absolute blast to have you on. So thank
My
you.
My pleasure, Stefan. Kiss your wife on the cheek for me and say hello.
Will do. Thank you so much. Give Glenn a kiss on the cheek for me.
Oh, I fucking will. Goodbye.
Bye. Hey guys, Stefan flying solo here. That's the sound of me flying. It's a magic carpet ride. So I do not have any windows to roll up. So you're hearing a lot of wind here, but just wanted to say that was an awesome time in the Tone Zone. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Jackie Tone, watch her Netflix show, Best Leftovers Ever. Watch Glow, support her, follow her on Instagram, give her some love, and give me some love because I'm needy. Follow me on Instagram at a Comedy Advice Podcast. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. I got that's fresh. It's like a little baby. So give it some love, give it some gifts, a bib maybe because it's just spitting some comedy all over you. And subscribe, rate. Leave me a review. Do whatever you can to just give old Steph some love. I got a magic carpet. I don't even have money for a Tesla. So give me money for a Tesla. Bitcoin, Dogecoin, I accept it all. Oh, and guess what? For you Phoenix residents and Phoenix listeners, Steffi Poo has a live show coming up at El Charro Hipster Bar and Cafe April 10th. Be there or don't. It's your choice. I really can't force you to do anything. But the link is in the show notes. Come on. Come on out and show me some love. Love you guys. Mwah, 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 mwah.